Glass cockpits offer hundreds of great new tools for pilots. How many of them have you mastered? I'm Paul Flagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Bob Miller Flight Training in the Buffalo, New York area, and the producer, publisher of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, which comes to you on the web. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
My pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
All right. I want to talk to you about something that you have in the current edition, the October edition of Over the Airwaves. Under an article, a heading called Understanding the Garmin G1000 Glass Cockpit, Your Key to Future Aviation. Now, I know we've heard a lot about the Garmin G1000. I know it's not exactly the same system as is found in a lot of the big airplanes, but your point is that if we're going to keep flying anything relatively new, we're going to have to learn these systems and at least know what they have in common.
Well, that's right, Paul. The practical test standards for the private pilot requires us to have a basic understanding of the aircraft systems. And one aircraft system now that's catching us all a little bit behind the curve is the new glass cockpits and understanding how the technology works there. And we don't have to be, technical specialists or real geeks in this, but we do have to have an understanding, for example, how the air data computer gathers its information and sends it out to the display, and how the heading reference system, the automatic heading reference system, works. This is going to require some digging into the aircraft manual, the user's manual, and having an understanding of these systems on a practical basis.
Well, I know that there is training available in the G1000 specifically. In fact, our mutual friend Max Trescott is kind of making a living at that right now. But do any of these courses get you into that kind of nuts and bolts, or are they all on how to manipulate the front panel?
Yes, there are. And Max has some wonderful book out on the GP on the Garmin 1000 and a DVD on the G1000. And it does. Max does a very good job of explaining the systems and how the various components work. But Garmin has much of the same information on its website. It's not as clearly presented, in my opinion. It's more technical in its portrayal of it. The POH in the G1000 equipped airplanes have some basic explanations of how these systems work. And of course, there is a user's manual designed specifically for the Garmin G1000. But I think all we have to really do is take a look at the schematic, look at the individual component parts, the black boxes, if you will, that make this thing work. After all, we're supposed to understand the pedostatic system and the components and how that works. This is not really a whole lot different. We have a magnetometer that gives us, for example, heading information. We have a pedostatic system that provides information to the air data computer that gives us vertical speed and altitude and airspeed. We just simply have to get into those and have a basic understanding of how they work so that when something goes wrong and it isn't working, we know what our options are and we know how to work around the failed component.
And there are going to be times, too, when if something is failing on the display, it will help to know, be able to, in your mind, troubleshoot back through that schematic diagram just to know what else might be next. Because some of these external boxes to the display can affect more than one parameter.
Yes, that's true. And a fix can be very simple. If, for example, we had a problem with an AHAR system, the automatic heading reference system, on one of our G1000 equipped airplanes. I was able to describe exactly what the problem is to our avionics shop. He was able to order the particular unit that provides that kind of information, have it overnighted. That component was just kind of a plug-and-play component that sits in the back of the airplane, pulled the bad one out, put a new one in, and we were on our way. And that came as a result of being able to accurately define what the problem was, and having a basic understanding as to which component might be the problem component. So it really speeded up our return to service by having that basic understanding of that system.
Well, now, we have talked in the past, Bob, about how the designated examiner corps has found it in some cases challenging to keep up with this new technology, and there are times when you want to go for a flight ride in a newer aircraft, and you may wind up paired with a designated examiner who doesn't really know the equipment as well as you do, and that can be somewhat of a problem. You recently described, well, in the current edition of Over the Airwaves, a 709 check ride in which the examiner obviously did know that airplane, and I want to talk to you about that in just a moment or so.
Okay.
We're talking with Bob Miller today of Over the Airwaves. We'll be back in a moment. Paul Plack here, and you're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the AeroNews special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. And Bob operates a flight school in the Buffalo, New York area. And Bob, you recently wrote in Over the Airwaves, in the current edition, in fact, about what's called a 709 ride. Now, this is sort of like a check ride, but it is not for a new pilot. Explain what a 709 is and where that term comes from.
A 709 ride comes from 49 U.S.C. 44709A. That's the reference. And it pertains, it's an equivalent to, an FAA equivalent to a reexamination of a pilot whose airmanship skills may have come into question as a result of a mishap or an accident. It's a way that the FAA can go back at an individual and reassess their basic flying skills, and it operates much like a private pilot check ride. And one of my colleagues underwent one of these in the past few weeks, and he did very well, except when it came to defining aircraft systems. And the individual from the FAA, the inspector, was a former airline pilot who had flown late model airplanes with glass technology. And my colleague got tripped up on the description of the glass panel, the technology that leads to the glass technology that we're using. And my colleague again was unable to define in adequate terms how the AHAR system works, the automatic heading reference system worked, and how the air data computer derived its data. And the examiner, and I was present during this exercise, and the examiner inspector said, listen, he said, if you want to fly these high technology glass airplanes, you're going to have to understand how the systems work. And he went on to say that anybody who's gone through a type rating in a corporate style aircraft, or certainly in an airliner, spends most of his time or her time learning the systems. And this takes days on end. Yet we GA pilots were able to walk into a glass cockpit airplane with virtually no additional training, no additional certification on our certificate, and fly these airplanes. And from this experience, I began to understand how the FAA now appears to be cracking down. If you want to fly this fun glass cockpit airplane, you better well know how those systems work.
Well, Bob, is this going to be an issue primarily for people who show up to take a check ride or a 709 ride in a glass cockpit airplane? I mean, if you show up in a 30-year-old 172 with steam gauges, are you going to be expected to know these same things?
No, I don't believe so. You're going to be responsible to demonstrate competence in the airplane that you bring for your check ride or 709 ride. In this context, my friend would have been better showing up in a 1950 Cessna 170A. He could have easily explained those systems. There were hardly any systems back then.
Well, the cable's connected to the turnbuckle, ..
That's right. But we have to be careful as GA pilots, because I think the other foot's going to drop. The aircraft manufacturers, Cessna, Diamond, Cirrus, they're all both promoting these glass cockpit airplanes. And I mean, they're bringing pilots in for factory training, but, you know, there's very little we can accomplish in just a couple of days of factory training. I know Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association, they spend a great deal of time with their owners trying to bring them up to speed in their COPA programs. And I think any one of us who are stepping into a glass cockpit airplane for the first time better find suitable training so that they can understand more than just what's displayed on the panel. They have to understand what's going on behind the panel.
You know, I remember this being an issue when I was learning to fly, and this is before the glass panel thing really hit. And I remember being cautioned that if I was going to show up in an aircraft that had a panel-mounted GPS, I better know more than just the direct to button.
Well, yeah. You know, imagine those people who are showing up with some of the earlier RNAV systems. A lot of those systems were, you know, really problematic in getting them to work. And one of the old tricks was, you know, if you didn't want to display or explain the system, placard it out of service. That's really not a, you know, an appropriate way to handle ADFs that we do not want to learn. But if it's on the airplane, we better know how to use it.
Well, and in an integrated system like a Garmin G1000, you can't placard out part of it. I mean, it's either going to all be there or it's going to be dark. And if it's dark, you really can't fly the plane.
Well, yes, it's a strange paradox. The paradox is the glass cockpit is a very easy airplane to learn. It's a very easy airplane to fly. I think it's much easier to fly than the round-dialed airplanes. But that's the paradox is the systems that make that glass work behind the scenes are fairly sophisticated. And while they're easy to fly, if we are required to understand the technology behind them, then it's a little bit more complicated than the basic pitot-static system. We do have an obligation, certainly an implied obligation from the FAA, not implied, it's a mandated obligation, that we have an understanding of the major components that make that system up, and we have to spend some time doing our homework in that regard.
Well, this is going to be my last question, and it's kind of a rhetorical question because I doubt that you can answer it. I know I sure can't, and that is, I wonder where the NTSB is in this learning curve, because at some point, if people are flying who are not familiar with all the ins and outs of their glass panel cockpit aircraft, we're going to start seeing accident reports, I would think, show up in which unfamiliarity with the functions of the aircraft avionics is going to become a factor.
Well, one of my criticisms of the NTSB is we seldom see that correlational data. We have wonderful accident reports that explain, you know, what went wrong with the airplane and factors leading to it and the probable cause, but I have yet to see any correlational data that is beginning to show whether or not, you know, pilots of a particular type of with a particular type of training or aircraft that have common similarities are producing, or makes and brands, for example, models, are producing higher accident rates or incidences of accidents than others. But I think we in the GA community, you know, I think we have to be sensitive to the fact that that other heavy arm of the FAA or NTSB could fall, specifically requiring something like an additional endorsement to fly a technically advanced aircraft, or even more, a type certificate to fly these kinds of aircraft. We better do our best to understand them and keep the skies safe, whether we're flying this or round-dialed airplanes. But we have a responsibility, as I said earlier, to know how these systems work internally.
Now, you know, it's going to come a time, Bob, pretty soon where as much emphasis as is put now in ground school on how the steam gauges work, there's going to be just as much emphasis put on what makes glass panels work, and
yes,
that's going to become part of the basic curriculum.
Yes, absolutely, and it's there, and we have a responsibility to understand how they work.
Bob, we always appreciate your insights, and these are always thought-provoking chats. We'll look for another one next Monday.
Thanks, Bob.
You can find out more about Bob Miller and Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated by visiting his website at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.